Our subject this morning is going to be the anatomy of a father. The anatomy of a father. It's a sad state of affairs that we find ourselves in the United States and other places in the world today. If you can believe this, in the United States, there's 18.5 million children a year that grow up without a father in the household. 25% of the youth in the United States are without a father. 85% of all behavioral problems in the schools and universities are found in these children. 70% of all drug treatment is found in these children. These children are five times more likely to live in poverty than those that have a loving, caring father. 90% drop out of school. The incarceration rate as a whole is pretty much near 100%. I've shared some of those figures with you before in some of the prisons that I've been in. It's a sad story. What is going on here with this situation in America? Well, the average American father is a highly frustrated individual. And this is not without reason, because in today's culture, balancing family and earning a living is a tough assignment. It's frustrating. I had a friend of mine that described it like a one-armed paper hanger with three rooms to go late in the day, and he runs out of paste. But the culture, unfortunately, has turned us fathers in a lot of ways into just buffoons. Almost like some of them are almost like amnesia victims walking around saying, "Who am I? What am I supposed to be and do?" And of course, you know it's easy to be a father physically, but difficult psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. And unfortunately, in our culture, little is given to help the average male learn his role as father. There's no crash courses, Father 101, for example. Kids, of course, as you know, don't come out with an instruction manual for each different model and kind. Yet, God has given us the responsibility as fathers to bring our children up correctly into adulthood. So a lot of scripture with regard to this. If you'll turn first in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. Verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The great example of this failure to fulfill what's being taught here is found in the inner city communities for the most part. The government welfare system has made fathers of little importance. And one of the bad characteristics of us men, I don't mind admitting it, is that we will dominate as providers. But if not given the chance to dominate as a provider, we will dominate as predators. And the welfare system here in America has made marriage and fathers of little consequence. Consequently, in the inner city, you have a matriarch system with females triple locked in their apartments while males prey on them sexually, financially, and physically. The importance of the father role cannot be overemphasized or better illustrated in this situation. I've mentioned this before, and I bring it up again because there are some young men here who may be fathers one day. A book written by Pierre Morel, and don't be put off by the title. The title is Passive Men and Wild Women. In the introduction, he writes, quote, "Over the last few years, I have seen in my office hundreds of men that are very successful, articulate, and intelligent in their work, but ineffective, inarticulate, and unsuccessful in their relationship to their wives, to their children. They are passive to their children, and their passivity and retreat from their role as father drives the mother wild. To make sure this is not the case, fathers have, according to Scripture, two full responsibility. We find one of them there, Tim read in Ephesians, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 echoes the same thing. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers need to function as the head of the family, a spiritual leader, not a tyrant, but a leader in all that is good and just. He's got to keep body and soul together, making a living. But here is the problem in our society today. The problem is that we men are trained and taught and exampled for one area and are totally at a loss of the other. What happens is we as men often are weak at home but strong at work. We are failing at home but we are a success at work. Trained for work, not knowing what it is to be strong at home. Bad-mouthed at home then as a result of this, but praised there at work. So what do? We neglect home. We spend more time in the professional world. It gets worse and worse at home as a result. It gets better and better there at work. In America today, there is a screaming need for Christian fathers. We are, as a culture, developing leaders everywhere, business, church, social, even some Christian organizations, but few fathers are being taught their role. So the question arises, what is a father? I think I've mentioned this before. There was a, you remember Art Linkletter and his program he had where he interviewed children, and he asked a young, I think it was a young girl that he asked, he said, what is a father? And she said, a father is a man that wants to help, but he just can't. So this morning, I don't want to hang any guilt on any father, hopefully just guidance, especially for you that are young and going to one day maybe become fathers. There are five things that I would like to suggest for your consideration in your role as a Christian father going forward. Number one, you must have a strong priority system as a father. Paul hints about it somewhat in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any praise, think on these things. This begins to put you in the right realm as a father, if you're thinking on these things. You know, here a couple of weeks ago in the news, there was some father that was on the news, and he was complaining about the fraternity and the hazing, and his son was hazed, and he ended up being permanently brain damaged because of this hazing. And he's blaming the school system and the fraternity brothers and so forth. And you know what? I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know what? That's your fault. That's the father's fault. The father was needed to take responsibility for that. He did not teach that kid right. By the way, these things in a strong priority system do not conflict with the professional job. Why? You have to have this priority system because priorities and objectives always determine outcome. You better have this strong priority system. I saw a definition of a fanatic one time. It's a person that redoubles their effort after they lose sight of their goal. And as a potential father, you must have this idea in mind of what you want to be. Otherwise, if you don't have a priority system, you tend to concentrate on motion. And what do? You go in circles. You don't really accomplish a whole lot. Some of the priorities should include personal character, a strong marriage. The problem in America is not really broken homes so much as broken marriages first. You have to concentrate on your marriage if you're going to be a good father. Once the marriage falls apart, then the home nucleus begins to fall apart. And we end up with a lot of single family mothers, 18.5 million, as a matter of fact, in the United States, trying to raise children in this culture that we live in. Parental ability. You better get you some books. Observe some role model fathers if you want to be a great father. Proverbs 22:6 says, command the father to make known to the children the love of God. He commanded the fathers to make known to their children, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, and his wonderful works, that they set their hope in God. That is the basis for a good father. A great priority system. Second, guard your attitude as a male. Sometimes difficult, I think, for us male. Guard your attitude. You are not what you think you are, what you think you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We find that in Proverbs. Your attitude determines everything in your role as a father and a husband. It sets the stage at home. You cannot carry home the disappointments of the job and the frustration of everyday activity, and you cannot bring that into the family. What happens is you snap at the wife. She will ream out the kids. The kids take it out on the dog's tail. The dog bites the cat. And what do you have? Chaos. We lived on the south side of Peru across the river. And I had this place where I, in my mind, mentally tried to drop off all the frustrations, the disappointments, and so forth of everyday professional life, business. When I got to the Broadway Bridge, I always tried to leave those things there at the river so that I didn't drag all that stuff into the home. And surprisingly, the next morning when I went back to work, no, they weren't where I dropped them off. They had crossed over to the other side and said, "Here, Redmond, here we are." All those things, I try to pick them up again the next day on the way to work. You got to have a place where you drop off your professional career and concentrate on the family. Number three, communicate your love. One place in Scripture, Ephesians 6:4, actually, it can be translated, stop provoking. You can't have the attitude in the family, "I'm going to beat your two eyes into one. I'm going to knock your head clean off." On the other hand, you can't tell Johnny 15 times, "Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that," and Johnny continues to do that. Discipline is part of being father, but it's got to be strong. It's got to be loving. It can be strict, but it can still be kind, consistent. So I point three ways to maybe accomplish this. It takes time. I saw a study done by Cornell University where in America today, the average father spends 37 seconds a day with a child. 37 seconds a day won't do it. It takes more time. So time is a factor. Interest is a factor. You've got to get into these children's mind. You have to take interest in, I don't care whether it's golf or racing or what it is. You have to become involved in what interest they have and help to promote it. So time, interest, and listen. This is why dogs are good. I saw a young boy essay. He was, I don't know, in the sixth, seventh grade, maybe. He said, "What my dog means to me." He says, "My dog does not say do like my mother, don't like my father, or stop like my brother. My dog just sits quietly, and I like him, and he likes me." You must listen as a father. Take time as a father. Discipline them in love. Tell them that you love them. The fourth thing I would point out would be to affirm your children, your kids. You are, if not the most important influence in their lives. A lot of people think it's the mother, and it is the mother to a great extent, but the father is put to the side. And yet the father is one of the, if not the most important person in a child's life. Kid comes home from school with a 98. You can't say, where's the other 2%? You got to give him an attagirl, attaboy, good job. Not where's the other 2%. Build them up as the greatest. Don't worry. If you overdo it, the world will level them back down where they ought to be. Affirm your kids. The fifth thing I would point out is you must be spiritually dependent. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind." You, as a father, have been given power, ability. You have to have that. You have to have love, compassion. Face your responsibility head on, knowing it is important and that it is ordained of God, that this position that you have. And if you do, let me show you what you will cause to bring about. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Beginning with verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken." God will bless your family if you take these principles that we find in Scripture with regard to the position of a father. And instead of having 18 and a half million children in the United States with no father in the home, those homes can be filled by strong fathers. And the culture today is totally against it. In fact, I've heard it said that it takes a village to raise a family. That's not right. It takes a father and a mother. And if so, you'll find that you'll be in the position that Abraham was in God's eyes because of what he was going to do with his children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love towards us. We're thankful that you are mindful of us as our Heavenly Father. We ask that you would continue to teach us that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of your love, your care for us. Pray that we will all here be rooted and grounded in your fatherly love. For it's in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, that we pray. Amen.